back to Galatians for today. I'm going to read Galatians 1:4, and I'm going to read Galatians 2:20. And the title for today is going to be Delivered in Jesus Christ. Now, both of these scriptures talk about the fact that Christ has delivered us. In Galatians 1:4, it says, who gave himself for our sins. Now, what was the result of that? That he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, and he did that so that we might be delivered from that sin, from the present evil world. Now, contrast that over and against the false teaching that Jesus gave himself that we might be delivered from the wrath of God. That's a teaching that a lot of Christians, maybe even without thinking about it, have bought into. That God was angry at man because of sin, and Jesus came to appease that anger. And once Jesus appeased God, well, then God pronounced us forgiven. And that is not the truth. Now, certainly, that would not do anything to change humanity if God simply was appeased. In that case, God would be changed from wrath to love. But the reality is man needed to be changed. That's what deliverance is all about. And so we are not delivered from the wrath of God. We are delivered from sin, from this present evil world. And we are delivered in Christ. We've got to get that straight or we won't understand what God was doing in the redemption. Now, I'm not saying there aren't consequences for sin. The consequence that comes upon people in the form of eternal separation from God is not because God is so angry he sends people to hell. It's because people have refused the only means of deliverance from out of sin and death. And so we need to understand that. So Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So it was the will of God that Jesus give himself for our sins. It was the will of God that we be delivered from that sin and from the present evil world. Now in Galatians 2:20, we have what I guess we could call an expansion upon this. Paul's going to tell us the means of this deliverance in more detail, and he's going to bring it forward into the Christian life. Now, Galatians 2:20 begins by saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, we find that Jesus gave himself for us. And the motive was love. Now, let's look at Galatians 2:20 in the light of Galatians 1:4. Because in it, we get a picture of what Christ was actually doing in the redemption. It reveals to us what that means for us, not only as to being saved, but it's revealed to us what that means for us as far as the Christian experience, as far as the Christian life is concerned. Now, one of the things you got to understand to get a picture of the redemption of Jesus Christ is that we are made one with Christ, both in his death and in his resurrection. Now, if we don't understand that, we're not going to get far. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. The Bible reveals that on the cross of Jesus Christ, God placed essentially the Adam race in Christ. Peter says he bore our sin in his body. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus Christ was the last Adam. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5 that Jesus became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What we see there is a union that takes place. And That union was made possible when Jesus died on the cross, bearing the Adam race. I like to say it this way. It is because Jesus bore us and died on the cross that we are able to take our place in the cross and die in Him now. And that is the key to being set free from the old creation through death. And we need to understand that the only way you're set free from the old creation is through His death. You can't ask God, "God, deliver me from sin." God's answer would be, "I already have. Believe and put your faith in Christ." No, Jesus Christ on the cross bore in His body every member of the Adam race who ever lived or ever will, and consequently, every sin that was ever committed or ever will be committed. That's a done deal, which is why He was able to say, "It is finished." It is finished for every member of the Adam race, whether we believe or not. We are reconciled to God, that is, reconciliation is in place and made possible for every human being who ever lived or ever will. Now, that's not universal salvation, because simply being put in Jesus Christ on the cross, that unites us with Him in His death, but it doesn't give us life. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, really believe into Him, if I can use that terminology as the Bible often does in the Greek. You have to take your place in His death, and you have to believe in Him, and then you'll be raised in Him under newness of life. You're not saved simply by His death. Romans 5:10 tells us that. It tells us there, if we have been reconciled to God while we were enemies by the death of His Son. Note that. People aren't saved at that point, and nevertheless, the Bible is able to say, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. All of that's in place. All of that's done. But it says much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The resurrection is life. And so absolutely, you have to put your faith in Jesus Christ crucified. Now, you don't get far by simply believing that He died for you. I mean, you can believe historically that Jesus died for you, and it may not do you any good unless you, by faith, take your place in that death and say goodbye to your life, to your old life, to your sin, and believe it's forgiven. And we've got to understand that this isn't about being saved through a doctrinal understanding. Now, we need doctrine, and we have to understand it. But that's not faith. Faith is to embrace Christ in all of the capacities that the doctrines describe. Believing the fact that Jesus Christ saves, or Jesus Christ is my Savior, is only a start. Now I have to embrace Christ Himself and everything that means. And what it does mean, to begin with, is to take your place at the cross. To take your place in the thing that's already done and in place for you. And in doing so, give Him yourself, lose your life to Him, and then because you're united with Christ in His death, then because you've believed, you will likewise be raised in Him. So only those who believe and are united with Him in resurrection union are saved. No one else is. Because resurrection life is exactly that. It's life. It's salvation. Now, Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. There again, we see a union. How many understand that Paul was very much aware of the fact that Jesus Christ died for him? And Jesus Christ did die for us. He died, as I noted, for every member of the Adam race. He did. He was the last Adam, and He died bearing the Adam race, or if we would be so bold to say, Jesus Christ died as us, as Adam. by spiritual identification. He was dying the death that Adam must die. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Jesus Christ was bringing that pronouncement, that just pronouncement, that death to a complete fullness and a complete end and completion. It is finished. And at that point, the Adam race is done in the cross of Christ. And what emerges from that crucifixion with Christ, if we take our place, is not a fixed up Adam race. No, the Adam race is in the grave. God's no longer dealing with that. What emerges is a new creation in Christ Jesus. A different kind of human being. So the emphasis at this point in Galatians 2:20 that we want to look at is the fact that we've been crucified with Christ. Romans 6 certainly amplifies that, where it says that, don't you know, that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by his baptism into death. How many know that baptism is immersion? So Paul is telling us that we are absolutely made one with Christ in his death. We are immersed in his death with him. Now, we need to understand here that this isn't a matter of God putting us to death independent of Christ. No, we're united with him in his death. He died a substitutionary death for the human race. He tasted death for every man. Now, that makes it possible for us to die in him. It wouldn't be possible otherwise. So Jesus Christ died, tasted death for every man as the last Adam. But if we come and take our place in him by faith, then whatever died in Christ dies in us ultimately. And that is deliverance. That is freedom. You are delivered and set free only if the Adam nature, only if sin, only if the spirit of the world. You are set free only if, by virtue of being crucified with Christ, those things die out in you. Now, we know that doesn't happen in this age fully, but we're going to explain that in a minute. This union with Christ in his death is the only pathway to union with Christ in his resurrection. Now, we chop these things up and put them into categories for the purpose of teaching and explaining and talking. But really, when we talk about being united with Christ in his death, crucified with Christ, and we talk about being united with him in his resurrection, raised in Christ, you gather all that up and we're really just talking about being united and made one in spirit with Christ himself. Because he is Christ crucified, he is Christ risen. To be one with him means that you are united with him in all of that redemption that he worked. I mean, if you're going to be saved, you are. So you can chop these things up for the purpose of explanation, but it's all just a matter of being made one with the Savior and the impacts that that have. Now, you will see, therefore, that that which is united with Christ in his death is everything that belongs to the old creation. And that's taken down into a death. And what is united or raised in Christ in resurrection union from out of that are not those things that are united with him in his death. What's united with Christ and raised up as a new creation is a raised spirit. It's a spiritual union with Christ. Now, at the resurrection, when Christ returns, the fullness of all of this will be made manifest because we're going to have resurrected bodies. But in this age, our physical body is not united with Christ. We're not raised with Christ physically right now. Neither are we, if I can put it this way, physically crucified with him. But by faith, because we are spiritually united with him, when Jesus comes back, then what already is true spiritually and what already is true in Christ will then be made manifest, will be made true in fullness. That's not possible as long as we live in this age in a physical body with that old nature clinging around. But nevertheless, when we take our place in the cross, everything that God Almighty crucified with Christ, that old nature, the sin nature, comes under the cross in us. As I said, all of that Adam man, all of that Adam race died in Christ so that we might die in him and be set free. Now, as it says here in Romans, therefore we are buried with him by his baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, just as I said earlier, in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, can we see that we're talking here about the only means of deliverance and freedom from sin? It isn't a matter of God going, zap, be free from sin. It isn't a matter of us pleading and crying that God would help us get over a sinful habit. And I don't have any doubt that we're sincere when we do that, but we're a little bit off the track there as far as the truth. Rather than ask God to deliver us from sins, what we need to do is ask God to deliver us from blindness and unbelief, because the freedom from sin is already there in place. It's already there in place in Christ. And to cry out to God that he would somehow deliver us from sin apart from coming into a realization of Christ, apart from an experiencing of Christ, well, that's futile, because it's only in Christ that we're delivered. We have to come into a knowledge of him, an experience of him, and then everything that's in him and from out of him, namely freedom from sin, is possible. For some reason, we've gotten to the place where we have divorced freedom from sin, deliverance, and all of the things that should be central to Christianity, newness of life. We've divorced it and we've turned them into things that God does to us, when in fact, they are realities and dynamics that are in the person of Jesus Christ. You have to come into an inward experiencing of him to experience what is in him. And Paul's trying to bring us back to that here. So we see that if we take our place in the cross by faith, if we say to God, Lord, your son said on the cross, it is finished. That means my Adam life, my Adam man is finished. As far as the power to govern me, as far as the power to make me sin and do what the Adam nature wants to do. Now let me just add, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but we are delivered not from the presence of the Adam race, but we're delivered from the power of it. We're not delivered from the possibility of it. We're delivered from the power of it, and yet only by virtue of our union with Christ. If we want to stray outside of Christ into unbelief, whether it be through ignorance or whatever, the power that's in Christ isn't going to be there. But to the extent that we abide in him, then freedom from sin is there. There's no way that you can abide in Christ, walk in his life, be crucified with Christ, be raised with Christ, and still be under the power of sin. But see, we don't operate in Christ by faith. We operate in the flesh, even if it's religiously, and sin's fully active there. because sin hasn't been annihilated or taken out of the realm of possibility. No, we are freed from sin to the extent that we abide in the victor over sin. And so when we take our place in the cross, we basically agree with God that our Adam man is done. That's why up front we had to lose our life in order to find his life. Jesus said that if any man would follow me, let him lose his life in order to find me as his life. And yet that is somehow pushed aside, meant to mean something it doesn't mean, often watered down to simply believing that Jesus died on the cross. And yet Jesus said, if any man would follow me, he's got to do this, and we ignore it. No, Christian people ought to be taught that when they come to Christ, they are losing their life if they really believe and are embracing him. When you come to Christ, you are joined to him, planted into his death. That's the end of your life. Now, you're going to spend a lifetime discovering what that means, but it doesn't change the fact that it's finished. We have lots of stuff in the human experience like that. If someone wrote you a check for $1 million, it would be a done deal. But how many understand that you got to experience the money? Maybe it's a silly example, but it's true. Doesn't do any good to sit the check there and just stare at it. No, what Jesus Christ did was pay the priceless price to redeem the Adam race. And that is done. Jesus Christ, how many understand Jesus Christ is done dying? It says even here in Romans 6 that he died for sin once. It says in Hebrews, he died once for all sin. Jesus Christ doesn't die again and again and again. Jesus Christ doesn't die all over again every time somebody believes. No, somebody believes because they see that he's done dying, that it is finished, and nothing can unfinish it. We simply see it, embrace it, and then spend a lifetime experiencing what that means for us. Jesus said, you've got to pick up your cross daily. That's not a matter of you dying all over again 10,000 times by taking your place in the cross. No, it's a matter when you pick up your cross of entering in and experiencing what Jesus accomplished on the cross as far as setting you free from your life. And so the cross and you picking it up is the means of victory, really. Because it's the cross that set us free from all. So, when we come to Jesus and take our place in his cross, we kiss our life goodbye. And that ought to be taught. And it ought to be taught as a positive, joyful thing. And so, at that point, we are united with him in his death. And all the power and all the dynamics then become possible, and yet only in Christ. Again, God never hands us a thing called power. God never gives us power as a thing. What God does is make us weak and expose the fact that we've always been weak. And instead of giving us a thing called power, God unites us with his Son. Christ is the power of God, the only power. And it says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so we are united with him in his death. And nothing will ever change that. The old man is under the cross, and for all of our existence moving forward, it will ever so be the case. Even though sometimes we don't live like it, doesn't change the truth. We just have to get back to it. And so Paul is able to say, I am crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I died. My Adam man died in him. And that is a union with him in his death. Now, we need to understand that while that dynamic remains, that while it is a fact that we will forever have been planted into the likeness of his death, and that we will forever have been united with him in his death, that Union with Christ in his death is not the fullness of the Christian life. That's simply what delivers us out of the old life. That's the power that's upon that old life. The Christian life is not simply that. People that make the Christian life all about being crucified with Christ are in error. The gospel is not the message of the cross, period. It includes that. But if we're left in the death of Christ, we're left where? Well, we're left dead. We're left dead. That's not Christianity. Christianity is resurrection union with Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is that all victory in the Christian life, while it must have as the basis union with Christ in his death, all victory in the Christian life, as far as living the Christian life, is resurrection life. People have discovered through experience exactly what the Bible says if we go on long enough. And that is that you and I are never called to win victory over and over and over again over sin. You and I are never called to get a big club and beat sin over the head, to defeat sin. We're never called to win victory over Satan. We're told to resist Satan in Christ, but not to beat him all over again. We're never called to do that. What we are called to do is believe and walk in resurrection union above all of that, because it's finished. It says somewhere else here in Galatians that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that would be a statement that would be impossible to make if the victory over the flesh was not already won. But it is won. And so God is saying, listen, you believe it's won. You accept that your old life is done. But you live out that victory by walking in resurrection union with Christ. And so, based on what Christ has done, based on the fact that we have given ourselves to him, we say, okay, all that's done. Now I'm going to walk where I know the victory is. I'm not going to try to win the victory over and over and over again. And you will find that this is much of what Paul is talking about in Romans and in Galatians when he talks about being free from the law. We're not forever to try to beat sin over the head by keeping laws or by doing anything. We're called to believe and be crucified with Christ, but to walk in newness of life above all of that. And it says that in Romans 6. It says, reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. If you just reckon yourself dead to sin and leave it there, where are you? Well, you're dead to sin, but you have no life. Again, we are united not simply with Christ in his death, but we're united with him in his resurrection. And that's where life is. It's resurrection life, made possible by united with him in his death, but nevertheless lived out, experienced in life. How many understand that we experience Christ in resurrection union? We experience a living Christ, not a dead one. All that's finished, and it's the basis. But we've got to move on to the Christian life. Well, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, again, that is not simply a doctrine to believe in. Paul was crucified with Christ, and we are too. But the way in which that's lived out certainly begins when we lose ourselves to him. And what Jesus meant by that in Matthew 16 is that we give our entire selves to him. We renounce our right to ourselves. We renounce self-ownership. We unconditionally give ourselves to God for whatever it takes for him to get his will in our life. And so all of that old Adam life, that self-ownership, that self-will, all of that is given unconditionally into the hands of Jesus Christ. Now, it is a fact that unless we're doing that, we're not going to experience freedom from sin. You cannot experience freedom from sins, acts of sins, unless you give to God by faith the life in which those sins are planted or rooted. If you and I still own ourselves and think we're going to get free from the sin that emerges and finds life from that, we're deluded. We have to surrender and then keep surrendering that old Adam life. We have to pronounce it and reckon it dead, as Paul says in Romans 6. And I realize that despite the fact that this is once for all done forever, that it takes us a long time to learn it and experience it. But we've got to. We've got to keep coming back to the fact that we are not our own. It isn't just a matter of, oh, I have this sin in my life. God, please give me the power to overcome it. You're wasting your time. He's going to say, I want you free from your sin, but I got to go back here to the root. And I have to deal with the self-ownership. Paul did not say here in Galatians 2:20, my sin is crucified with Christ, although his sins were. He said, I am crucified with Christ. The whole person, the whole life. And yet, then he says, I am crucified with Christ. All of that is a done deal and it is finished. But nevertheless, despite that, based on that, I live. But it is yet not I that live, but Christ lives in me. How many see a death there, but the emphasis on life? If you read down through Galatians 2:20, look how many times life is mentioned. Nevertheless, I live, Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The theme is life, based on that death. So he says, I'm crucified with Christ. All of that is a done deal once for all. And I'm united with Christ in his death. But I, because of that, have been raised up in Christ out of that death. And that constitutes the means of the Christian life. The means of the Christian life is not the death of the old, it's the life in him. Now, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet, what is alive is not I, but Christ lives in me. Now, what he is saying there is something that is primary to the Christian truth. And that is that resurrection, life in Christ, new life in Christ is not a repair job on the old. What is raised in Christ is not the old you all fixed up. Now, I say that because so much teaching in the Christian church today, a lot of what's on Christian TV will tell you that God wants to make a new you. God wants to fix you, to repair the old you and make you brand new. And God wants to bring you into a knowledge of yourself as the new you. God wants you to see you the way he sees you. God wants to make you look like Jesus. All of those things are false. It is not we in a repaired state that live in resurrection union with Christ. It is Christ that lives in us. Now, let's get back to something else that is primary here, and I alluded to it earlier. When you and I come to Jesus Christ, what happens is that as we take our place in his death, God Almighty joins us to his Son, and we become one spirit with Christ. He that is joined to the Lord is made one spirit with him. So we are not made one body, we are not made one psychic man or natural man with Christ. That's not what's raised in Christ with resurrection union. No, there's a separation that happens there between that which dies in Christ and that which is raised in him. separation between soul and spirit. And so what is raised up out of our death union with Christ is our human spirit now united with Jesus, with the Spirit of Christ in resurrection union. And so what the new man is not the old creation fixed up. What the new man is exactly what new means. It's a brand new and different kind of human being that ever existed. This time, spiritually united in resurrection union with Christ. Now, it's just a foretaste and a down payment of what's going to be at the resurrection when Jesus comes back, where the resurrected body will appear. But right now, we are united with Christ, spiritually in resurrection union. And within that resurrection union is eternal life, his life, and all that speaks of Jesus. And so, what is raised is us in the person of Christ. Our spirit in the person of Christ. All the other is left behind and not incorporated into that new creation. And then from there, the life which we now live, well, we live in him. And yet Paul is able to say, yet not I, not just us, not us fixed up. The life isn't us. The light, it's not the power of the old life. It's yet not I, but Christ lives in us. And so it comes true. Colossians 3:4, Christ who is our life. So again, we see that Christ doesn't simply give us a thing called eternal life. Christ gives us himself, who is the life. And it's the only life we have. If we lose our life by taking our place in the cross, then the life we're going to find is not our old life fixed up. The life we're going to find is him. Now, the life that I now live, I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God. So Paul's talking about the fact that, yes, he is united with Christ in resurrection union. But now there's a life to live. And so the Christ who lives in him wants to live through him. And the way that that happens is by the faith of the Son of God. So to the extent that we abide in Christ and come into an inward realization of him, there's going to be a life that emerges, but it's not our life. It's not a religious life. It's not us molding our flesh and humanity according to a list of principles or laws and then calling that the Christian life. No, it's a matter of all that being crucified and us becoming a person who knows him and is governed by knowing him, becoming a person that has come into the reality of that spiritual union to the point where now it can emerge and be manifested. And so we're not going to be made to look like Jesus. We're going to be brought into a union with him where Jesus can look like Jesus through us. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, in order that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. That's not us looking like Jesus. That's us being crucified with him and Jesus manifesting through us. Now, those aren't just words. We're talking there about Christianity. We're talking about a completely different definition of Christianity to say that we're looking like Jesus rather than Christ living through us. No, Jesus Christ wants to live through us. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, the question is always going to emerge, well, if all of these things are true, if I really am crucified with Christ, and he really does live in me and wants to live through me, then why do I experience so little of it? I think a lot of that comes back to the fact that we still think that Christianity is a matter of God changing us and making us look like Jesus. We still think that we're supposed to get things from God. We still think that Christianity is a matter of God acting on us and changing us to look like Jesus. a matter of God doing things to us that constitute Christianity. No. Christianity is experienced only in Christ. It's only by faith, or the faith of the Son of God, that this is lived. We have to come in to the reality and the experiencing of union with Christ. It's not a thing out here that we accomplish by taking a 12-step program, or by going to a Bible study, or simply by praying. We have to come in to an experiencing of Jesus Christ. So if you want to pray, again, pray that ignorance might be dealt with. Pray that unbelief might be dealt with. Pray that we might come into an inward realization of Jesus. Pray that God would do anything that it takes to bring that to pass. Because it's only in Him. It's not us trying to live the Christian life. It's us experiencing Him. And therein lies resurrection life and a life that emerges. And the focus there is not preoccupation with ourselves. It's exactly what Paul says it is. Yet not I, but Christ. And we may talk about that greater in subsequent message. But for today, we're delivered in Christ from sin and from this evil world. But we're not delivered as something that God does to us. We are delivered by virtue of spiritual union with Jesus Christ. Union with Him in His death. But then union unto newness of life with Him in His resurrection.